Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. It's my pleasure, as always. You're going to be glad you did, because our good buddy Stephen Baum is back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Stephen is a CEO, consultant, and advisor and coach. He's been doing this now for a couple of decades at least. He was former partner with Booz Allen Hamilton. He is the director of the Point Group Network. He's a Vistage team leader. He's the author of an outstanding book that's absolutely, it is outstanding. What Made Jack Welch, How Ordinary People Become Extraordinary Leaders. He's a very smart guy. And our good friend, Stephen, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. It's good to be back.
It's always a pleasure to have you back. Hey, Stephen, I wanted you to help me on something. I'm glad you're here. Because I'm thinking about turning my company, Small Business Network, into a bank holding company, so I can get some of this government TARP money, the troubled assets recovery program, I guess it's called. But I applied to them, but they said I wasn't troubled enough, which really surprised me. They said I was only marginally troubled. They said, are you talking about your company? Or are you talking about your own mind, Blasingame? He said, from a mind standpoint, they said your mind is plenty troubled, but your company is not. So I guess I'm not going to qualify.
Well, here on the corner where I live in New York City, there's a guy who sells coffee and donuts in the morning, and I was discussing with him having his portable coffee wagon become a bank holding company. And he said, I don't qualify. He said, for example, I don't take risks and gamble without having some money in the bank behind it.
Well, and he doesn't do any transactions where he doesn't add value to the transaction.
And he said, I don't keep selling products that nobody wants anymore.
Right, right.
And I don't waste energy and have environmental impacts, and so I don't do enough things that qualify me for a bailout.
Yeah, that's exactly right. He's an honest guy. He adds value at every turn, and like so many businesses are. And what are we going to do about all this, Stephen? How are we going to try to make sure this doesn't happen again?
Well, it'd be a little bit naive to think that that we can change out the people who are still in power from the last administration. You've got to hope that the new administration is going to understand that small business generates 75% or better of the jobs in the United States. And if the guys you and I serve, who are business owners and CEOs of small companies, continue to lose confidence in what's going on and continue to protect themselves as they should, this is going nowhere. This bailout.
But you can't isolate. You know what, though, Stephen? You can't isolate that on any one administration. This is a corrupt kettle of fish that's been cooking for decades on both sides of the aisle and throughout Wall Street.
That's absolutely right. The guys that I spend a lot of time with are basically continuing to protect themselves. You mentioned Vistage, and I do chair a group of small business owners here in New York, and we've been through several rounds with a changing mindset each time as we've watched what's going on. In fact, if you go to the Vistage.com website, they publish a confidence index, which is now at its lowest point in 5 years. There's a whole bunch of articles on the site of what to do to survive in this economy. But our group started, if I can tell you just a sort of outline of the story, in the summer of 2007, some of them started to notice a downturn in their business. Most of them were related to staffing in some form or other, hiring in some form or other, so they sort of are leading indicators.
Mm-hmm.
And in the first round, they started doing contingency plans and then the beginnings of protecting themselves, the usual stuff, eliminating products and services that customers didn't value as much, reducing the headcount, that sort of thing. By late 07, early 08, they were into, we better cut to the bone, rally the troops, invest in retention, touch all our customers, and protect our cash. And they started to get close to the bank to make sure the bank was comfortable. They took some cash and put it out of reach of the bank. They did some creative things. There's a couple of companies which I'm going to go back and get the names of because I don't have them with me now, but who actually insure receivables. It's an idea that was fairly novel to me anyway.
Yeah. So a variation on factoring,
exactly,
but instead of paying for it, they insure them. Stephen, hold on to that thought. Well, this is fascinating stuff, and only Stephen Baum can bring it to us, folks. And he's going to stay with us throughout the rest of the hour. I'm going to be right back with him right after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Here's Barbara Lewis to take us out.
How long has it been?
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for joining us. Here's Joe Cocker bringing us back. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. The first one is where you can find the show and the articles and the archives and the Brain Trust and the newsletter, which we hope you subscribe to. We'll send it to you every Sunday afternoon, get you ready for the week ahead, and so much stuff there. Brand new website, by the way, folks. I hope you'll come check it out and let us know what you think about it. And then, of course, our knowledge base, AskJim.biz, where you get small business answers now. Stephen Baum is our guest. He's the author of What Made Jack Welch Jack Welch, and he's a Vistage leader, and we're talking about some of the steps that his group has taken over the last 18 months or so to try to make sure that they are poised to survive first and then thrive afterwards. And Stephen, we were talking about how do we prevent this from happening again. But even as I was saying that, I was looking at one of my favorite books. It was written in 1848 by Charles McKay, and the title of the book is Extraordinary Popular Delusions and the Madness of Crowds. And this book is about three examples in history, Tulipomania, South Sea Bubble, and the Mississippi Scheme. Three examples that you could change the name and a few of the elements, and it would be the SNL meltdown, the dot-bomb meltdown, and the subprime lending. I mean, somebody could write a book about those three things that would be comparable to this book called Extraordinary Popular Delusions and the Madness of Crowds. I guess I've come to this, down to this cynical thought, Stephen. The problem with humanity is the humans.
Well,
so
you know,
how do we,
you know,
how do history, we fix, can we fix it?
History does repeat itself. There have been some instances like what you described after that in 1907, when there were bucket shops where people could go buy stock with money they didn't have. They could borrow and go crazy like it was an off-track betting parlor or something. And there was a crash of the market because of that. Mm-hmm. And if you think that what has just happened with the subprime mess is new, the guys in charge at Merrill were there when long-term capital occurred. And
right.
They not only
in 98.
Knew what... They not only knew what they were doing, but they got rid of the people who said that they were doing risky things.
Right.
So they took excessive risk on the... They threw away the risk management rules, and they got rid of the people who were giving them trouble. It's recently come to light that at one of the other institutions, that the guy who was making all the money with the high-risk bets was personally best friends with the guy who was in charge of risk management.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't imagine, if you're best friends, how hard it is to tell your friend that what he's doing is destroying the bank.
Right.
So there's been a lot of unmanaged risk and the sort of corruption that goes on that makes us all have the willies. And that's why, because of what they see in the repeat of this, that the folks, the men and women that are in my group, are now in a very different mentality. I mentioned to you the first round was contingency plans and some protective
right.
measures. The second round was cutting to the bone, rallying the troops, investing in retention,
right.
protecting cash, touching the customers. Now what's going on is they're preparing for a 1 or 2 year siege, and they're doing some extraordinary things. And I thought I'd talk for a minute or two about what some of these
okay.
things are. One of the outfits has just successfully renegotiated their health care contract. They went to the current supplier and they said, we can't survive with you if
mm-hmm.
you don't change what you're doing. And the health care provider basically stonewalled them. So they went to another
mm-hmm.
one and renegotiated the contract and saved 20%.
Wow.
20%. And that
wow.
gave... That this was a one of my
that
females.
Could be the difference in survival and not surviving.
Oh, it's huge, and what that did, the person who's the CEO or business owner of this company is a woman. She said, "Well, if we can do that with healthcare, we ought to go take a look at our customers.
Yeah,
and they're probably under siege. Let's see if we can
right.
make some new deals with them.
Right.
And they went to a couple.
That's
of
how customers. That's how you become a partner and not just a vendor.
Exactly right. And she met with the head of a couple of their biggest customers, and they basically came out with a program that, if I dumb it down, is sharing Rolodexes. You know these
mm-hmm.
people, we know those people, and together we can probably create some value. So there's a list of things that they're starting to do. Another one is finding profit pools, as they're called, with low startup need for cash. So I have one business owner who's got a business in testing and information on employees. And he's come up in the last 3 months with two new businesses that are allied. It's what the idea is what U-Haul did years ago when they and Ryder were at each other's throats in long-distance
mm-hmm.
moving, and they kept lowering the price of renting the truck. And U-Haul figured out that if they had the right supplementary materials, the packing stuff and the belts and the tape, they could make more money on the
right.
on the materials than on the rentals.
Exactly.
And so these guys are figuring out how to get additional profit pools that will help sustain the business. But the one that really, really grabbed my attention is several of the people around the table have reviewed every entry in the payables journal over the last 60 days. They have signed every check and reviewed every expenditure
mm-hmm.
over the last 60 days. This is called in the weeds.
Yep.
And as one of them said, you'll know when it's time to get out of the weeds. But right
yeah.
now, you got to be in the weeds.
That's exactly right. You can't farm that out. You can't delegate. This is something you can't delegate, folks.
Nope.
That's exactly right. Good stuff, Stephen. Stephen Baum, ladies and gentlemen. Going to take a quick break. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. More of this to come right after these messages. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Stephen Baum. Stephen is the author of What Made Jack Welch Jack Welch. Stephen, I need your website badly, please.
Thank you for asking. It's StephenHBaumLeadership.com. Stephen with a PH, Stephen, middle initial H, Baum, B-A-U-M, leadership.com.
All right, so check that out. And now they can find out more about your Vistage work there, too?
Yes, they can,
and
find,
they can find
out
find
about
it,
the...
And your book, too.
All of that, and I have a regular posting of on my blog where I try to provide free tools and information about what CEOs are doing, both my private clients as well as the Vistage people.
So check that out, folks, StephenHBaumLeadership.com. Stephen, what are some last thoughts before we wrap up today? What are some last thoughts that you have for us to help us, some things that we can use in our own businesses like you've been doing up to now?
Well, I talked about the different mindset as to where people are. So they're renegotiating with their providers, they're forming partnerships with their customers, but they're actually reducing capacity. They're saying, if I have to not have enough capacity for growth when it suddenly starts, I'd rather be safe than sorry. I'd rather forego
mm-hmm.
that. So they're really into a 1 or 2 year siege mentality. And even with that, they're still occasionally putting some cash out to buy some distressed competitors
yeah.
on an earnout basis.
They're girding their loins, but they're not closing their eyes. They're keeping their eyes open for opportunities. And I'll tell you some other. I want to ask you another thing. I bet I didn't hear you say, and they woke up one morning and decided to slash their payroll by 25%. I didn't hear you say that because they're not doing that, are they?
Well, they did some of that a year ago.
But they didn't They didn't do it arbitrarily as if it was a percentage. They cut the deadwood is what they did.
Well, in fact, they did a stack ranking or force ranking on performance of the entire company. And yes, they gave some real thought to who should be on the team and who should not. I will say there, you asked me one sort of point to share, and it is the communications part of this. The boss is daddy or mommy, and all the children are looking at daddy or mommy's behavior, eyeballs, emotion, body language. And the way you behave during this period, if you are determined and you are tough, but you are fair and you are calm, it's really important. If you look at the images of McCain and Obama during the course of the campaign and you turn the sound off and you just look at the image of what you see in Obama calm and confidence. And what you see in McCain is crisis, anger, and a lot of other emotions that do not feel particularly good when the house has fallen down. And your behavior and your communication during this period, if you're the business owner, is incredibly important to keeping the troops with that feeling that this person is going to lead us through this time.
Well, and the thing is if you can maintain that kind of professionalism that you're talking about, and that kind of logical, thoughtful, intentional behavior, even if you give somebody bad news, they don't have a reason to take it personally.
Well, if you're explaining it and you can give them the bigger picture, yes, that's very important. But even controlling your own emotions, I like to do gratitude exercises every week. What am I thankful for? It keeps me balanced. I like to think about the fact that when I was a kid, I had fist fights that turned out to be necessary with a bully. And the outcome, as Gordon Buffoon of Continental Airlines told me, is you don't die. You get through these tough times, and you're going to be okay. And that's what makes people usually the boss, is they've been through these experiences that have toughened them up and made them able to deal with things. And it's really important during this time to not let your amygdala, the part of your brain that controls your emotions, hijack your ability to think. I have a Navy flyer in the group who has been through every kind of survival training there is, and he says there's just one rule in life. He says panic removes all your options.
You know, one thing, though, Stephen, that I think is going to be one of the byproducts, one of the beneficial byproducts of this tough time we're going through, is we got a lot of young people who've never been through anything like this before.
That's right.
And they're going to be, when you and I are in the rocking chair out to pasture, these are the people who are going to be running our businesses in our country and our world. And this kind of crucible environment is going to be good for that experience, a good experience for them, isn't it?
Absolutely right.
Yeah, and we don't need to make it easier on them either, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. We're all going to have to take our lumps. Hey, Stephen, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Thanks for having me, Jim.
And we're going to see you in about a week or so, I think.
Yes.
Going to be up in your part of the world.
At the Small Business Conference.
There you go. That's the Small Business Summit. Exactly.
Yes.
Thanks a lot, Stephen. See you next time.
Thanks for having me, Jim.
Yep. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.